We're doing the Rambam Milchot Yisodei Torah. We're up to the second chapter, the first halacha. Kela nichbad v'anora hazeh. This potent being, honorable and awesome, mitzvah la'avo u'li'ra'oto. There is a mitzvah to love him and to fear him, or to have awe of him. However, we'll translate ira. We're in the middle of learning a whole piece on this in the Magid Midovna and the Sefer Midot, the definition of ira. Shneimar, as the verse says, v'avtat Hashem lokecha v'neimar Hashem lokecha tira. You'll notice there's no mitzvah to love your parents. There's a mitzvah to love a fellow Jew. There's a mitzvah to love a ger. There's a mitzvah to love Hashem. No mitzvah to love your parents. Huh?
Your fellow Jew includes your parents.
Right. I guess a fellow Jew includes your parents. But what about gerim have a special place.
No, yeah. But I mean, what about a ger? They have parents. They won't be able to love their... And they're not, there's no mitzvah for them to love their parents if they're not...
Right. There's no mitzvah for any Jew to love his parents more than anyone else. You have to honor them, you have to respect them. It doesn't say you have to love them more than your fellow man. Halacha beis, ve'achi aderech le'avato v'yirato. So what is the path to loving and fearing Hashem? V'sha'ash yitbonen ha'adam b'ma'asav uv'ruav ha'nifla'im ha'gdolim. When a person... What does yitbonen mean? Thinks about. Yitbonen is like tvuna. It's not just he sees, but he thinks about. He looks into Hashem's actions, Hashem's creations that are awesome and great. And the person will see Hashem's wisdom that has no value. It's limitless. Miyad hu ohev, right away he loves, shabach and praises, fa'er and exalts, mit'avet ava gdola l'da Hashem ha'gadol. And he has a great desire to know this great one. Kmo shamar David, tzama nafshi l'elokim l'kel chai. As David says, my soul thirsts to Hashem, to the living God. So what did we just see? Through the wisdom... And through seeing the limitless wisdom, many things are supposed to happen. Love, praise, desire to know. Love, praise, desire to know better. So, we... Huh? What? So, we... If we think about it, let's take a simple example. You hear a big rabbi is coming to town. You want to go see him. What do you want to see? You hear a tremendous speech. You want to meet the person. You hear about a great person out. Very often you'll ask people, if you could meet anyone in history, who would you want to meet? So people have all kinds of names. Who would you want to meet? Dov, who would you want to meet? If you could go anywhere in time and meet whoever you wanted. Okay, why? Okay, but why those two?
They were pioneers of Zionism.
And? You admire what they did? Oh, see, you admire something about them, right?
Yeah.
When you admire, you want to connect to something you admire. Right?
Yeah.
That's what's really going on here. If I can have a slight appreciation for God, so then I'm going to want to connect to God. Why don't I have an appreciation? Because I take the physical world for granted. And I don't see the wisdom that's in the physical world. I just live. You ask me, what's this little pulse I feel over here? I don't know. I think about it, there's a heart beating. And I didn't think about it this morning. I didn't tell it to start beating. I didn't tell it to keep beating when I went to sleep at night. If we think about how many different hormones and chemicals our mind secretes and the different glands secrete throughout the day, we don't think about it. Just it goes, right? But if you start looking and you see, wow, that's amazing, so then the tendency is that when you have when you see something awesome, when you see something you admire, you want to get to know it better. So we started with the last point, that great desire to know Hashem. Now let's ask ourselves, how do you get to loving Hashem? So I think, although the Rambam doesn't spell it out, I think that there are two levels to loving Hashem. There's the simple level and there's the deeper level, and it depends on where a person's holding. The simple person has difficulty having love for anything that's external to himself. You ask him, do you love Socrates? Do you love anyone other than someone that's done anything good for you? And the simple person has a hard time loving anything but something that revolves around himself. So for a simple person, I guess, the focus would have to be on how much Hashem does for him every day, what Hashem has given him. And we say it in the blessings. The blessing I find that is most simple to see it in is the blessing of Borei Nefeshot. We say, Hashem, Borei Nefeshot Rabot V'Chesronan. Hashem created all these different creatures, and whatever they were lacking, He gave us each the food we need, the air we need to breathe, so many things that we need in order to live. And on top of that, there were all the other things Hashem gave us to make life pleasant. I'm balding. Almost everyone here still has more hair than me. I think everyone here has more hair than me, and good for you. I wish you guys to have it till 120. Till I started balding, I didn't realize what a gift it is to have hair. Suddenly I realized that I keep getting wounded on my head. At least once a month, I have a wound on my head. Because when you bump into things, you don't think about it. And when you walk out in the cold, so then you don't think about what the hair gives you. There are little things. We don't have any appreciation for them until we start losing them. You ever have a cut in your finger and suddenly you realize how much you use that finger? You ever have a cut in the finger that doesn't stop bleeding? And then you start thinking, wait a second, there's clotting. There's a whole system as to how God made the body repair itself. And there are millions of little things that we don't even think about. You know, those little hairs in our nose that give us a capacity to smell. So many little things. Hashem made it that when something rots, it gives a bad smell, so you don't come to eat it, so you know to get rid of it. The ecosystem, there's tremendous wisdom. All you have to do is stop and look. But we don't stop and look. And I think that the simple person only can love that which pertains to him. A greater person, and I think that's who the Rambam's talking about, can love or can connect with something that does not necessarily affect him. If you'd read a book about planet Earth, and you'd read about all the wisdom and all the science and all the biology and all the tremendous wisdom that goes into every single aspect of life, from our capacity to see to the multicolors that are within light, Roy G. Biv, and all the forces that are at play in the world, and even the fact that the earth is spinning, you could look at the big things, you could look at the little things, there's nothing you can't see God's greatness in. I once gave a class to Madrichim in Bnei Akiva, so I asked them each to speak about a branch with a leaf. I brought in a branch and a leaf, and I said to them, now I want you to give a class on this. Give 10 minutes speech. What does this say to you? Now, I was just walking, and I knew I had to give this class, and I had nothing to say, so I figured you could take anything and give a class on it. All you got to do is have a starting point and then start thinking. So you'd be amazed at how each one could talk for 10 minutes about the brilliance of God within that branch and that leaf, and how the branch represents life or people and the unity and the sap that goes through it. They could each talk for 10 minutes on a branch and a leaf. I didn't tell them what to say. I didn't know what they were going to say. I didn't have anything to say. They told me in 10 minutes, we want you to give a class to these madrichim. I said, okay, fine. So let's give a class on ingenuity. So I walked outside, I looked around, I saw a branch and a leaf, I picked it up, said, that's class, okay. Went back and continued learning. But they were each able to talk for 10 minutes about a branch and a leaf. And there's a lot of wisdom that we ourselves can see in a branch and a leaf. One of them just stood there and spoke about how you see the veins coming out in the leaf and what it all represents. And the truth is, every one of us could. If we stopped and looked at anything in nature, take a hair. If you just look into it enough and think about what goes into a hair, you know, today they have a whole science in diagnosing people by taking their hair. You send in a hair, and they'll give you a whole diagnosis based on the makeup of your hair. There isn't anything in the planet that doesn't have tremendous wisdom.
That can lead us to a sechavat elad, no? Is there a way?
Fine, but what the Rambam is saying is that if you want an appreciation of Hashem, if you want to reach the love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, so he says you have to have an appreciation. What are you going to do? Look, and where are you going to see him? So the truth is,
because says if you're studying and you see a tree and say, oh, amazing tree.
But Salil, I'm sorry, but if you just came in, it's really not fair. Sorry, you're coming mid sentence. Your question is fair, but not. It's out of context. Kmosh Amal David, and I think there's another important point that the Rambam tells us, Tzaman afshi lelokim lekel chai. There's this continued thirst. Meaning if we're going to think that one day I'll have all the answers, it doesn't seem like you ever get there. You have some answers and then you continue learning. And the Rambam seems to be giving us a formula, and the formula is there's thirst, and there's a quest, and there's a search. So, point number one, I think we understand on two levels how to approach the love, the praise, and the desire to come close to Hashem. Are we all on the same page? Can we go on to point number two? Okay. Uchshem chashev bedvarim eilu atzman, and as a person thinks about these things themselves, miyad u'nirta la'achorav. So then another thing happens, and that is, he's shocked, he's taken aback, v'yifached, and he's gripped with fear. V'yodeh shu b'riya k'tana shfeila afeila. And a person realizes that he is such a small being, he is so minuscule and so dark. What do we understand? Omedet bedat kala me'uta, whose knowledge is light and minimal, lifnei tamim deot, before one whose knowledge is whole. So two things happen. There's a love, there's a praise, there's the desire to connect, and then there's the realization of the gap between us, how distant we are. And part of that realization is how little we are when I start realizing how big he is, and how little we know when we start realizing how much he knows. Kmo shamal David, as David said, ki yireh shamecha, when I see your heavens, maseh tzbotecha, the fashion, the work of your fingers, ma'enosh ki tizkerenu. So I realize, why should you even bother thinking about a human being? Why should there be any connection between us? Logic doesn't dictate that I should have any importance before God. Delefi advarim eilu ani mevaer klalim gdolim imaseh ribon ha'olamim. And based on these rules, I'm going to explain some great rules, some great principles of the actions of the Master of the Worlds, kedei sheyu petach lemevin lehovet Hashem. So they will be an entryway to those who understand to love Hashem, kmo shamu chachamim binyan ahava, shemitoch kach ata makir et mi shama v'haya olam. That out of this you come to recognize he who said and the world came to be. So far we're all together? The Rambam is about to start discussing deep concepts of understanding Hashem, what we call Kabbalah. And the Rambam says, this is just like a key, I want to open the door to the love of Hashem. He's not going to give us a full explanation. He's going to give us the key, the entryway. Let's define, how does the Rambam explain Yir'at Hashem? Did we see fear over here? The Rambam says he's taken back and he trembles and he realizes how little he is. So where did the Rambam talk about fear? It's not that I'm scared of him. It seems more that the Rambam's defining Yir'at Hashem as I'm in awe of him. Right? Isn't that, if we read the Rambam, he says, you realize how little you are, how big he is, how much he knows, how little you know. If that's supposed to be the path to Yir'ah, well, doesn't mean I'm scared of him, it just means I'm in awe of him. So that's why sometimes we say that yirah doesn't necessarily mean fear of Hashem, but rather awe of Hashem. A realization of how distant or how I don't even understand how infinitesimal when you start thinking about it, it's like it's beyond anything we can put into words or into our perception how distant we are from Hashem. Now the question is, I think we should get a taste. We should just read and translate a little bit of the next few halachot, so we'll get a taste of it. Okay? He's talking Kabbalah, and as we pointed out earlier, he's going to say in the end, you weren't supposed to understand any of this, so we don't have to spend too much time reading what we won't understand, but maybe some things we will. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo nechlak b'shlosha chalakim. Everything God created in His world is divided into three sections. Me'en bruin shem chuburim me'golem b'tzura ve'em ha'ovim nifsadim tamit. Some things were created of matter and of form, and they are things that come to be and they pass from the being consistently. Kmo gufot ha'adam v'abeim ha'batzmachim ha'matchot. Like human bodies, animals, plants, and metals. Me'en bruin shem chuburim me'golem b'tzura ve'enam mishtanim me'guf leguf me'tzura le'tzura. But then you have other things that also are made of matter and form, but they do not change from one element to another or from form to form. But their shape is consistent, and they don't change. It's interesting. The Rambam is discussing that physical matter changes. Today we know that scientifically. Half-lives, everything has a half-life, everything changes, right? Biologically, scientifically. Yes, no, maybe so. Hello? No one knows what I'm talking about. Scientifically, we say that every element has a certain half-life, has a point which that element changes. What?
You mean like for humans, that's kind of like the stage of puberty sort of thing?
No, that's a different evolvement. Even elements, even base elements, have a half-life. There comes a time when the element changes. What defines an element? It's electrons and protons, right? In science, we say you have stable elements and unstable elements. Stable elements are the elements that last a long time before they change. And unstable elements are elements which change more quickly. And then you have the isotopes. We won't go into biology. And anyways, I don't remember enough of it to teach it. At any rate, the Rambam says things change. The elements change, the shapes change. And then you have things that don't change. V'hem ha-galgalim v'ha-kochavim shebahim. So the Rambam describes the galgalim, which I guess we would describe, we would say the galgalim are like the wheels and the stars that are in them. The Rambam describes the stars as though they're connected. If you could imagine like a big wheel, and it has a bunch of stars plotted on it, and then you turn the wheel, and then the stars move on the wheel, right? So that's how the Rambam describes it. And the Rambam says, "V'en golmam k'shal golamim lo tzuotam k'shal tzurot." They're not made of the same matter that we recognize. They're not made of the same shape that we were accustomed to. "U'men bruim tzura b'lo golem." So that's the second type of thing that has matter and has also form. Now you'll tell me, the stars aren't going in any, they're not attached to any wheel, and I'll tell you, how do you know? You'll tell me, what do you mean? I mean, spaceships go through the orbit of the moon and they don't crash into anything. Right, you said it's a different matter than we're accustomed to. There's a whole science about understanding what keeps the planets in their place. What keeps us from going into the sun and going out into orbit and staying exactly where we are, and so do all the other planets. So the Rambam calls that a wheel that has a specific type of matter in it. Whether we would call that a force today and not a form of matter is a good question. But we also, scientifically, we have things which are not so defined yet. Meaning, is light something that has matter or doesn't have matter? In certain ways, light responds to things as though it's made of matter, and in certain ways it responds as though it's not made of matter, as though it's just energy. So we also have things in science that are undefined, and one of the things that we don't have an exact definition on is what really keeps the planets in line. So we have certain theories, but they've only been proven to a point. The Rambam continues and says, "Umehem bruim tzura belo golem." Some things were given form, but they have no matter. "Klal ledo, v'hem ha-malachim." Those are the angels. "Shamalachim enam guf v'kviya." The angels, the Rambam holds, have no form. They have no body. They only have form. But they are forms that are separate from one another. So according to the Rambam, there is such a thing as a malach, but it has no physical aspect to it. So how does that work? Well, we said we're learning Kabbalah. But that's an important concept. That Hashem did create spiritual beings that exist, that have form, that are separate from one another. They're not like Hashem who has no form. But they have no matter. And that's the Rambam's Shita. How come the prophets speak about seeing an angel of fire and with wings? It's all an allegory. It's not to be taken literally. An angel doesn't need wings and an angel isn't made of fire. They're giving us a concept that they're not made of a body and they're not weighed down like the bodies. The verse says God is a consuming fire. God is not fire. That's an allegory. As the verse says, God makes his angels wind. What does it mean, wind? They're not wind. The idea is they're light. They're not weighed down by a corporeal body. So how are they discernible if they have no body? Because they're not in an equal place. Each one has a different level. Okay, so now we're entering a whole discussion of the different levels of angels and their names, and I don't know if we'll get anything out of that. We should, you want, learn it on your own. I'm not sure I could add anything to what it says. Okay, so let's skip forward. Let's skip to Halacha Ches. Lechol ha-tzurot ha-elu, all these different shapes, when we talk about these angels, chayim, they're alive. So that needs definition. How do you define life? What does it mean they're alive? U'makirin et ha-boreh, and they recognize the Creator. So that also needs definition. What does it mean to recognize Him? V'yod'in oto de'a gdola ad limod, and they know Him a tremendous knowledge. So the Rambam told us three terms here that I don't think we can understand any one of them. I don't know what it means, the life that's given to an angel. I don't know what it means to recognize God. And I don't know what it means to know God, a great knowledge. Every shape according to its level, not according to its greatness. And even the highest level of angel cannot understand the truth of the Creator in its essence. So that's a phenomenal concept. It's beyond its scope to really understand it and to know it. But it can understand and it can know more than the angel that's on a lower level than it. So maybe that's a certain area of comfort to us. We can understand, but to a point. Even angels have a limit. There's a point at which you say, you can't get better than that. Down to the 10th level of angels, the bottom level, they know more than a human who is made of a physical body can understand. But none know him the way he knows himself. And we'll pick up here, Bezrat Shem, next time with Halachat Tet. I would like to suggest that those of you who leave for the Pasha class, stay for the first 10 minutes because we're going to be discussing a very important concept that's so important that I was even contemplating doing that instead of this, but I understand that some of you have chavrutot, so it'll be online, Emir Tz Hashem, Ki Tisa 5771.